number 179 have been announced as the Savior's hymn for our invitation for this evening. We do hope, trust, and pray that when this next song has been sung, there might be one or more individuals in this beautiful audience again who have not yet named the name of Christ, who will have that desire to do so as our brother did on last evening. Amen. To give your life to Jesus for remission of your sins. Truly, we're thankful again to the God of heaven for allowing us this privilege, this opportunity again to come. My thoughts are the same as Brother Justin's. We're just elated to see such good numbers at each service. I have certainly been impressed, I've been encouraged. You have encouraged me, and I know you've been an encouragement, I hope, to the Arlington Church of Christ. This is my first time being here at Arlington, and certainly we have had a beautiful, beautiful time to be with the congregation here, and we're thankful for each of you. Mm-hmm. Those who come from various congregations, that certainly is a blessing, and we're thankful for all of you who have come. Thank you to Brother Krim for leading us in the songs tonight. Brother Paul Elam, one of the, as I call him, hard-fighting soldiers, along with Brother King, as I mentioned the other night. Appreciate the prayer that was prayed, certainly in our behalf. And Brother Ralph, we look forward to your prayers at the close. And we're just thankful for all that have come, all the gospel preachers, elders, those who are deacons, or whoever you may be, members especially, we're thankful for your presence. And I want you to know that from the bottom of our hearts, we're truly grateful. I want you to be turning your Bibles to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. As we come to the close of this service, these series of lessons, the theme has simply been speaking the truth in love.
All right.
And we started off on Sunday morning by talking about there's just one way to heaven.
All right.
One way. Then we talked in Bible study concerning speaking the truth in love and how we are to speak and speak the truth and to speak it in love. And then on Sunday morning following the Bible study, the second service, we talked about the family of the household of Stephanas, and how they addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. And then on Sunday night, following that wonderful meal that we had by the sister, that you're going to probably get in trouble because you didn't say anything about them.
That's your job.
I'm saying it now. We had a wonderful meal. If you were not here, you missed it. But a wonderful meal. Y'all have some good kitchen mechanics. Amen. We had a wonderful meal following the 11 o'clock service, and almost all of us, I'm quite sure, Brother Jones, we have to go home and take a little nap. Amen. But we came back on Sunday night and we talked on the subject, Dr. Doolittle. We got a lot of Dr. Doolittles around. And I didn't know there was a Doolittle Road here in Warren County, but I heard it is. And but nevertheless, we talked about Dr. Doolittle. But then on last night, we talked about, is everything nailed down coming loose. Because in our society today, men have taken their figurative hammers and crowbars and have taken and have uprooted and taken things up that God has already nailed back. Whether it be in the home, whether it be in creation, whether it be in society, whether it be in the church, even when it comes to our final destination in life, when it comes to death and the judgment. But nevertheless, we need to understand that God's word is still true. He said on one occasion, our Lord did, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So that brings us to our lesson tonight. As we invite your attention to the 27th chapter of the Gospel according to the Acts of the Apostles. And I want to read verses 14, starting at verse 14. And I want to read down through verse number 20 at this time. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship.
All right.
And the third day we cast out with all of our hands the tacklings of the ship. And when neither sun nor star in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away.
All right.
I'm going to stop there, but I'll mention some other scriptures from that text in just a moment. But I use as a subject tonight to encourage those of us who are members of the body of Christ to hang on and to continue to keep the faith.
All right.
We use the lesson entitled simply, Throw the Stuff Overboard. Throw the stuff overboard. As you know, heaven, the land of unclouded day, the land of unclouded sky, is the ultimate goal of every one of us that sits here in this audience tonight.
All right.
Those who may be watching by way of Facebook live stream, all of us, I'm quite sure, we are looking forward to going to that place that we call heaven. Yes. Jesus talked about it a long time ago in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, as he was telling his troubled disciples in verse 1, to let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you.
Right.
I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Amen. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest.
All right.
And how can we know the way?
All right.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we need to understand that in order to get to heaven, you've got to come by Jesus Christ. And friends, tonight, I'm quite sure that there are many who are trying to make heaven the home, and I'm thankful for that. But there are many who are traveling the wrong way. And we want to encourage you to get on the right way.
All right.
To open your book, which is the Bible, and find the place where it's written so that you can do just that.
Right.
Because of the alternative to heaven, we must be resolved at all costs to do whatsoever it takes to make heaven our eternal home.
All right.
And when our brief journey here on earth has terminated, we need to make sure that we are all on the right road to heaven. The Hebrew writer tells us over there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 that we are to lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset. And we must run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith. Am I right about it? Having made his defense before King Agrippa, we find the Apostle Paul in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts is now on his way to Rome because he had appealed unto Caesar. When you read the 26th chapter, you'll find where all of this had started to take place. But we find that Paul, in the last verse of the 26th chapter, we find that he had let them know that he wanted to see Caesar. The Bible says in verse 32 of Acts chapter 26, "Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." So we find that's why he's certainly on this ship. Well, Paul is now on his way to Rome because he had appealed to Caesar. And see here, Paul was a prisoner for preaching Christ and his resurrection. What are you saying, Brother Chris? I'm saying this, how ironic it was for Paul as he could persecute Christians, Brother Ralph, and he could persecute Christians, and it was not going to cause him to become a criminal. But I'm here to tell you, when Paul was preaching the gospel, it made him a criminal. Isn't that something? And it was ironic. And to me, that persecuting Christians didn't make one a criminal. But when you preach the gospel, it did. I'm quite sure that goes on even today. People say that we're criminals. They say that we're bad, because we are preaching Christ and him crucified. Well, before they set sail, Paul warned them of the danger that would befall the cargo and their lives. All these folk on this ship heading to Rome, but we find that there was a great wind in the midst, and it was tearing that ship up. So before they set sail, Paul had told the captain, he said, now if we sail, guess what's going to happen? We're going to, the cargo is going to be destroyed. And even lives may be taken. But the captain of the ship would not listen to his advice. I wish we had time to deal with the whole 27th chapter of Acts, but we don't this evening. But I want to try to let you know what was going on. We find that they would not listen to the Apostle Paul. We find that the captain was a veteran probably at what he did, taking care of that ship. So he didn't pay any attention to Paul's advice. After all, as I said, they were probably veterans. But we find that Paul was just a tent maker. But I'm here to tell you, even though Paul was a tent maker, he had experience with God. Right. Is that all right? Yes, and see, that makes it a whole lot of difference. When you know God, when you have an experience with God. That's why I encourage folks, if you have not given your life to Jesus, you ought to do so, because when you give your life to Jesus, when you obey the gospel, that gives you an upper hand on knowing who your God is.
Right.
I'm going to write about it.
Amen.
We find dismissing Paul's warning. We find that they set sail. And not long after, the storm arose. And the ship was caught. And it could not bear up in the wind. This typhonic wind, which we call Euroclydon, became a great threat to the ship and the cargo. And even the lives on board.
Yeah.
They were in trouble, Brother King. Because they failed to heed to some good advice. I start to tell you, every now and then, it's good for us to heed some good advice. Young people, let me tell you, as I told you last night, it's good for you to heed some good advice, whether it be from your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, your ministers, your elders, the deacons of the church, whoever it might be. It's good for you to heed that good advice.
Right.
Many homes tonight are messed up. Many are in disgruntled and all messed up because somebody did not heed some good advice. Many lives are messed up right now because somebody did not heed to some good advice.
Amen.
And like that ship that in Paul's day, they were finding it hard to bear up under or in the storm because of the danger of the ship being broken to pieces. They began to lighten the ship. Is that all right? And what were they doing? They were throwing the cargo over the ship. Is that all right? They were throwing it overboard. Some of the food and so forth that they had, throw it overboard. Some of the clothing that they may have had, they had to throw it overboard.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is, in order to make that ship a little lighter, they had to throw some stuff overboard. Is that all right?
Yes,
see, they wanted to make it safely to shore and would not allow the cargo or the tackling to keep them from safe landing. So they had no problem with throwing the stuff overboard.
Right.
Oh no, lives were more important than freight. Is that all right?
Right?
Lives were more important than the cargo. So these mariners wisely threw the stuff overboard. And did you not know when we became Christians, we too embarked upon a journey?
All right.
Oh yes, we did. Our destination is trying to get to heaven.
All right.
Is that all right? Oftentimes the Christian life becomes a tedious journey because we are sailing upon the sea of life.
Right.
We cannot successfully navigate the Christian journey upon the sea of life unless we get rid of some stuff. Is that all right?
All
right? So that's why I want to talk this evening on the subject, throw the stuff overboard.
Right.
It seems that many would rather hold on to stuff than to go to heaven. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at that tonight.
All
we're going to see what some folk are holding on to, what they need to let go of. So I want us to consider some stuff that we must throw overboard if we want to make it to that distant shore to
right.
heaven one day.
Yes,
what's one other thing, Brother Chris, that folk need to throw overboard? Well, I'm here to tell you this evening, we need to throw some indifference overboard.
Amen.
Indifference, hello, is some stuff that needs throwing overboard. Now, I'm going to give you some script. Be turned to Revelation, if you will. Revelation chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be going there in just a minute. But indifference, my brothers and sisters and friends, is a lack of interest, a lack of enthusiasm. So see, some folks don't know what that is. Hey, amen. It look like some folks look like they've been sucking on persimmons and lemon all at the same time.
Amen. Right,
won't smile.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Amen. And they look like they are always sad and always sour. Well, if you have some indifference in your life, Sometimes you might need to throw it overboard.
Right.
Because you might be hindering somebody from obeying the gospel.
Yes.
With your attitude. Hello? Jesus tells it like this. In Matthew chapter 5 and round about verse 13. He said, you're the salt. You're the salt of the earth. And if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is this for good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men? But then he went on to say that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that is in the house. Then he said, my favorite verse, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may do what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Friend, we need to let our light shine. We need to allow our influence to shine so that we can be an encouragement to somebody.
Right.
So church folk, I'm talking to us tonight. We need to make sure that we are living our lives in such a way that others will see Christ living in us and will decide that I want to be just like him.
Right.
I want to be just like her because they're trying to make heaven their home. Indifference in the church. There are some members who have no enthusiasm, no concern for the work of the church, no concern for the work that Christ has entrusted to his church. In other words, Brother Elam, indifferent members are half-hearted. Oh, yes, they are. They are half-hearted. When you go to Revelation 3, meet me at verse 14.
Yeah.
The Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Is that in your Bible?
Right.
I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold.
All right,
right.
Cold or hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm,
right,
and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. Notice Jesus, you are just the opposite of what you say you are.
All right.
That's all he's saying. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as thou love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the church. Now, I stopped to tell you, church, that here was a church, one of the churches of which was Laodiceans, one of the seven churches of Asia Minor. Here the Lord had to let this church know that you're not right.
All right.
Hello? That you're not cold and you're not hot.
All right.
In other words, you're just lukewarm. And you know, if you're lukewarm, you know, lukewarm anything don't taste too good.
All right.
Hello, somebody.
All right.
And the Lord said, in other words, you make me sick because you're not hot or you're not even cold.
All right.
Amen. And so, and he lets us know here that they have some problem, the issue that they need to deal with. They had some problem that they needed to confront. They needed to have eyesight, and they needed to clothe themselves because of their nakedness. And in other words, Jesus lets us know that you're to be zealous and you need to repent. And sometimes we need to do the same thing. We need to repent. We need to throw that stuff overboard. Some folks have been holding grudges for years. Hello, somebody.
Right,
been holding grudges. And what they do, they bury the hatchet, but they leave the handle sticking up out of the ground. That's not love.
Amen.
The Bible tells us to forgive one another. And we still holding grudges that our grandparents had. We're about like the Hatfield and the McCoy. Y'all remember them folks, don't you?
Amen.
All right.
But if we want to get to heaven, we got to throw that stuff overboard.
Amen.
We don't need to bring that stuff up. And there are some members who, no matter what the church is endeavoring to accomplish, they will never get on board to contribute to its success.
All right.
No, no, won't ever do that.
All right.
Will it be a gospel meeting? And I can't say that about this congregation. Y'all had a good meeting, but I've gone to some places where, you know, there hadn't been a good success in the meeting. Because some folk have the attitude, Brother Rapp, that, hey, I'm not going to get involved.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do my part.
All right.
I'm thankful that many of you have not had that attitude. When it comes to soul-winning classes, being a part of the soul-winning team, we got some folk that just don't get involved.
Right.
And there are some who never get involved. Never get involved. Paul said to the church over there in Romans chapter 10, and look at verse number 1. He was talking about some of his people. Paul said these words. I like what he said. He said, "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
All right.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." We got a lot of folks like that tonight. They have a lot of zeal, Brother Ralph, but they don't have zeal. They don't have it according to knowledge.
Amen.
For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Yes.
So I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're planning to make it to heaven, you got to throw indifference overboard.
All right.
So that you can make heaven your home one day.
Yeah.
But not only that, but self-righteousness is some more stuff that needs to be thrown overboard.
All right.
Amen. I know some of y'all may have thought I was going to go to Jonah tonight, but Jonah, he can't touch this tonight.
All right.
Amen. Jonah can't touch this tonight. We're dealing with Paul and those individuals that was on that boat. But 276, if my memory is correct, all them people on that ship. And when you read the end of that text, you're going to find that all of them came out on dry land. Okay. Not a one was hurt. Why? Because they listened and they followed. They decided to listen to Paul.
All right.
But my point that I want you to understand tonight is that there is something that you got to throw overboard. You got to throw some self-righteousness overboard.
Yes, sir.
Self-righteousness is one of the besetting sins, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus severely condemned while he was here on this earth.
All right.
A self-righteous person is one who is convinced of his own righteousness, thinking that he is okay and everybody else is not okay. Kind of remind me of old Cain. Y'all remember Cain?
Mm-hmm.
Cain felt that he was right when everybody else was wrong. Well, he is one who acts as if God has made him or her out of better clay than somebody else. That's what a self-righteous person is.
Yeah.
This person fails to see his or her own sin. Oh yeah, but they got 20/20 vision when it comes to sin, the sin of their fellow man.
All right.
Lord have mercy. Somebody said,
man,
that man would quit preaching and go on to bed.
All right.
Amen. Go on to bed. But I start to tell you tonight that this stuff has to be thrown overboard if we want to make heaven our home.
Right.
Amen. As I said, sometimes we have spiritual astigmatism.
All right.
when it comes to our own shortcomings.
Amen.
Yes.
To show the awfulness of self-righteousness, Jesus tells us the story of the two men over there in Luke 18. Mm-hmm. Turn to Luke, the 18th chapter.
All right.
And I want to look at verse number 9.
All right.
Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. Notice what the Bible says. And he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others.
All right.
Two men went up into the temple to pray, mm-hmm. the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioner, unjust, adulterer, or even as this publican. He was probably pointing at him.
All right.
I fast twice in the week. He got eye trouble, y'all. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
All right.
I tell you, this man went down into his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I stopped to tell you this evening that we have a lot of folk like this old pup, like this Pharisee. Oh yeah, this Pharisee, he had eye problem. Not E-Y-E, but I. He had that problem because he was saying everything he done, he did it on his own.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The poor little publican, poor fella, he didn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. And so we need to understand sometimes that God looks at those who humble themselves.
Yes.
And this is exactly what this publican did. The Bible said he smote upon his breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yes, sir.
And God heard that. How do you know? Because the Bible says that I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Oh yes, self-righteous church folk says that they're not as bad as other people are. Y'all ever seen folk like that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, they're not as bad as other folk. But I dare you to measure yourself up against Jesus.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
All right.
Measure yourself up against Jesus and see how you come out.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus is a standard.
Yes.
Not your brothers and not your sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, can I measure up to Jesus?
All right.
He's the God-man.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He's the standard. Mm-hmm. If you are carrying this stuff, and your goal is heaven, you had better throw it overboard.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't get to heaven with that kind of an attitude.
Right.
Oh, and then covetousness. Covetousness is some stuff that needs to be thrown overboard. Mm-hmm. Now, covetousness, this is what many members have problems with in the church.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know, covetousness, it's just greed that keeps some Christian from giving to the Lord on the Lord's day.
Right.
And the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 that we're to give as we've been prospered.
All right.
In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5, Paul lists covetousness along with other sins, which he tells us to do what? Put to death.
All right.
He said, put it to death, lest we incur the wrath of God. Paul also tells us that covetousness is idolatry.
All right.
And so many folks are trying to rob God and are robbing God. Mm-hmm. They do it every day.
All right.
They rob God of his time. They rob God of his giving. Their giving. They rob God of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you that Satan is the one who fills our hearts, right? He's the one who fills our mind and keeps us from giving as we've been prospered. So we need to tell old devil sometimes, you just get behind me. Amen. Hello, somebody.
Amen. All right.
You don't need to be like Ananias and Sapphira.
All right.
Acts chapter 5, 1 through 10. Not going to read it. My time is getting away. But you can read that. But Ananias and Sapphira, they lied. They had some property they sold, but they didn't give it all like they said they would.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, they paid the price.
Yes.
Me and like Barnabas, they had land. They sold it, and they laid the money down at the apostles' feet in chapter 4. And guess what happened? God blessed them because they did what they said they were going to do.
Amen.
But I'm reminded of a story about a farmer. A farmer who used to be very stingy. I mean, he was a stingy farmer.
All right.
One day, a neighbor whose house was destroyed by a fire had a fire in his smokehouse. He had a fire in their home, rather. And he decided that he was going to go to his smokehouse and he was going to get out a ham. Don't get out a ham and give it, Brother King. The old devil, he kind of whispered in his ear, don't give him that big one. Just give him that little one.
All right.
The farmer said, if you don't be quiet. He said, I'll give him the whole smokehouse. Amen. And the point I'm trying to get you to understand is sometimes we allow the devil to talk us out of doing certain things.
Amen.
Amen. The devil can talk us out from obeying the gospel.
Yes, sir.
The devil can talk us out of living right.
Mm-hmm.
The devil can talk us out of wanting to do better. Hello.
Amen.
Guess what? These are some things that's going to keep some folk from making heaven their home.
Mm-hmm.
Holding on to those things.
Yeah.
And then one more before I sit down. I want to share with you the fact that division and strife is some stuff that you need to throw overboard.
Amen.
Amen. We have too much of that, even in the Lord's church. Division and strife. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Here the Apostle Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the household of Chloe, that there are contention among you. Paul had this problem in Corinth.
Yes, sir.
Problem of division. Problem of contention. The Bible said in verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am Christ. And he asked the question, is Christ divided?
All right.
Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. Paul didn't want to get in all that. And then he went on to say, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. And look at verse 17. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul is saying, in essence, my job is to preach.
Yes, sir.
That's my job. God, give us the opportunity to do that. But then I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse number 1. The Bible tells us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are you able. There might be some that may not be able to bear it now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Paul said, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas you, there is among you envying, there it is, and strife, there it is, and division, there it is. Some translation have factions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For what one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and another, you know, I'm whoever. He said, are ye not carnal?
All right, right.
Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? They are but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. That's why he was able to say in verse 6, I have planted Apollos water, but God, he gave the increase.
All right.
Last night I planted Apollos water, whoever waters, the brethren here, they water, but guess what? God still gives the increase.
That's right.
Oh, when God gives the increase, you can't take that away from him.
Yeah.
Oh, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And that's what we have to look at. So tonight, don't allow division. Don't allow strife. Don't allow any of these things to keep you from making heaven your home.
Amen.
If I come to my conclusion, I want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians again. The chapter is 6. And look at verses 9 through 11. Paul said, if I didn't get some of yours tonight, I'm going to get them right here. Hello.
All right.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor reviler, nor extortioner. Did I hit any of yours yet?
All right.
Shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Paul said.
That's right.
Chris didn't say it. Paul said it. And he went on to say, and such were some of you.
Yes, sir.
But ye are washed now. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And by the Spirit of our God.
Yeah.
If Paul didn't get it through Corinth, I believe he got it through the Galatian letter. Galatians chapter number 5.
All right.
And look at verse number 19.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like.
All right.
Paul made sure he got them in there.
Yes, sir.
Those who are not in there, he should have got you with the such likes.
Yes, sir.
Hello? He said, which I tell you before, and also I tell you again, in time past, that they would do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's book. I've given you book, chapter, and verse.
Amen.
One thing about it, you can't say that the preacher didn't give me book, chapter, and verse.
Right.
And as I said the other night, I'm trying to make it so plain that Stephen won't even have to wonder about it.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Don't have to wonder. And if Ray Charles was still living, he would be able to see it himself. Hello.
All right.
But I want to make it plain. I want to make it so plain that these young people in here can see what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully tonight, if you've got some stuff that's holding you from giving your life to Jesus, then you will decide tonight, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I don't want nothing to hold me back. I don't want my friend to hold me back. I don't want my mama, my daddy to hold me back, because I know what the Bible says.
Right.
And I've got to obey God.
All right.
And keep his commandments. Will you do that tonight? What must you do to be saved? One may ask. Well, you must hear God's word. I was trying to give you the plan of salvation every night. Haven't given you a lot of scripture, not quoting those scriptures, but giving you the passages where you can find them. But you've got to hear God's word, Romans 10, 17. Believe what you've heard, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Repent of all your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, Acts 17, 30 and 31. Confess with your mouth that Christ Jesus is the Son of God. Do as that young man did last night. Made that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to be buried in that liquid tomb for the remission of your sins. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Then remain faithful unto the end. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Revelation 2 and 10. and then heaven gets to your home.
Yes.
Friends, if you're here tonight, I'd be ashamed to be afraid, and I'd be afraid to be ashamed. Tonight you ought to tell that devil to get behind you. Be like that prodigal son we're getting ready to sing about. That prodigal son realized that he was living a life that wasn't good. He had to throw some stuff overboard. He had to come to himself, the Bible says in that passage in Luke, where it tells us how that when he came to himself, you got to come to yourself. You got to realize, hey, I got to get my life together.
Right.
Mama can't do it for me. Daddy can't do it for me.
Right.
I got to do it for myself. Mm-hmm. And the Bible lets us know that this prodigal son in that hog pen probably was smelling like a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Almost eating what those pigs were eating, Brother Rack.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed been working, but yet and still realizing that his job, his lifestyle, he wasn't even supposed been doing that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he had to do it. That's when the Bible says he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father that they have food at that home?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a bed to sleep in. And here I'm out here perishing in hunger. He said, I'm in want. I'm in need. He said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise. I'm going to tell my father, Father, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants.
All right.
But when his father saw him and grabbed him and hugged him, he called for them to get a ring and put on his finger.
Mm-hmm.
Get shoes and put on his feet. Get a robe and put on his back. Because he was still a son. His father even said, after he told him to go and get that fatty calf, don't forget about that fatty calf. Told him to go get that fatty calf. They were going to have a party. As a matter of fact, everybody was happy, Brother Ralph. But the elder brother and that fatty calf. Amen. Everybody was happy but them. They were mad, and the cow knew he was going to be eaten. The elder brother, he was mad because he couldn't have a party and so forth. But everybody else was happy.
Because
the young man was dead, but now he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
He was lost, but now he's found. Why? Because he decided to let go of his pride. And he threw some stuff overboard.
Yes, sir.
And you can do the same thing tonight. You can be a new child of God tonight. You can be a child of God. And if you are a child of God, even tonight, and somewhere down the road of life, you stumble, you have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't lived the life that you know that you would be pleased with. And you know God will not be pleased with. You know the brothers and sisters here at Arlington will not be pleased with. Why not rededicate your life?
Say,
I've sinned. I ask the church to pray for me and that God will forgive you. That's all we have to do.
Yes.
We'll pray for you tonight because we want you to be in the same relationship. What you got to do, you got to throw pride overboard. You got to throw your attitude overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to come to Jesus.
Right.
Will you do it? Do it right now.